Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, 17th, 2014, episode 10.16, the Week 3 Preview Show. My goodness, the rave cave is still on fire, people, so this is going to be a quick show. I'm not feeling all that great, but I play hurt. That's how I do it. That's how football players in the NFL should do it. They should take, a page out of my book, so to speak, and play while they're hurt, because I'm doing it. They should be doing it too. Folks, the NFL is becoming a really, really bad reality TV show. First there was Ray Rice, then Adrian Peterson, now today Gloria Aldred, high-profile attorney, criticizing the NFL for accusations about Brandon Marshall while he played with the Denver Broncos. And then, of course, Arizona Cardinals running back Jonathan Dwyer, who has earned
boob of the day.
No. Jonathan Dwyer actually has earned boob of the year. I'll tell you why. And the NFL has announced a new PED policy, meaning some players that were suspended get to come back and play. Lots to talk about, plus Week 3 games, and David Bradley is selected to represent the fans this week. Let's chomp it in! Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. Oh, thank you for coming back, people. The NFL just can't seem to help itself right about now. Things are just continuing to show up that show the players in the National Football League in a very negative light. Today, in a press conference, high-profile attorney Gloria Aldred criticized the NFL for apparently handling a domestic violence complaint filed against Brandon Marshall more than 5 years ago. Apparently, they were aware of his personal background, and he assaulted a woman. It was brought to Commissioner Goodell's attention, and apparently it was never properly investigated, and she's now bringing that up. And, of course, earlier today, Jonathan Dwyer, running back of the Arizona Cardinal, was arrested for alleged aggravated assault. So I guess since there was an actual arrest, he gets
just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm.
He says he didn't mean no harm.
Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day he was born.
Jonathan Dwyer, you have got to be about the stupidest person on the face of the planet. After everything that has happened over the last 2 weeks surrounding the National Football League, for you to even get in a hint of an argument with a woman right now is bad. Much less get arrested for alleged aggravated assault and denying someone the ability to call 911. Those are the two separate charges that are coming out right now. Jonathan Dwyer was actually pulled out of practice from the Arizona Cardinals facility so that he could speak to police officers. I am just dumbfounded. I'm sitting here in awe of how moronic you have to be to get involved in something like this. Now, I think it's coming out that one of these incidents maybe was back in July and it didn't happen as recently as this morning, which a lot of the reports are making it sound out to be. But still, how many more of these cases are going to come out now where like, oh yeah, so-and-so hit me back later some other time? It's coming out. And the fact that this was his wife, who is a mother to his 18-month-old child, I just can't believe you're on the practice field and you're pulled from practice so that you could speak to police to answer questions regarding the investigation into these allegations. The Arizona Cardinals immediately deactivated Jonathan Dwyer. They didn't hesitate or you know, waste any time in doing so. But Dwyer was booked into the Maricopa County Jail on one count of aggravated assault causing a fracture, one count of aggravated assault involving a minor, and two counts of criminal damage, and one count of preventing the use of a phone in an emergency. And assault. It just keeps going. The hits keep coming. The stuff with Brandon Marshall, obviously, that happened a long time ago. You got to be some kind of dumb right now to try and do anything bad. The league is already just going through all kinds of craziness. They're in panic mode because they're trying to catch up with everything that's going on, and it has become a bad reality TV show. You know, the Minnesota Vikings doing a 360 in the middle of the night while nobody was watching, and they deactivated Adrian Peterson and told him to go take care of his business. And they were able to place Adrian Peterson and deactivate him indefinitely and place him on the exempt commissioner's permission list. Now, what the heck is the exempt commissioner's permission list? Well, I had to go searching, much like everybody else. The exempt list is a special player status available to clubs only in unusual circumstances. The list includes players who have been declared by the commissioner to be temporarily exempt from counting within the active list limit. Only the commissioner, nobody else, only the commissioner of the NFL has the authority to place a player on the exempt list. Clubs have no such authority and no exemptions regardless of circumstances, and this is only by the commissioner. The commissioner also has the authority to determine in advance whether a player's time on the exempt list will be finite or will continue until the commissioner deems the exemption should be lifted and the player can be returned to the active list. So that's what it is. Basically, the commissioner sees a situation. You have a player on your roster who we need to kind of move away from the National Football League. We don't want you to lose that player, obviously. You don't just release him outright. You put him on this special exemption list. He is still your player, but he doesn't count toward your active 53-man roster. You can go out and grab another player to put in his place while he goes out and takes care of whatever it is he goes out and takes care of. Recently, immediately after the Minnesota Vikings did that, the Carolina Panthers announced that they, too, would place defensive end Greg Hardy on the exempt commissioner's permission list. And that means Adrian Peterson, who is in some legal trouble and has to go deal with the courts in the state of Texas, and Greg Hardy, who was already found guilty by a bench judge and is appealing that guilty verdict, is going to be having to go and deal with their legal matters. Now, if those guys are found guilty, they're obviously serving some jail time, possibly, unless, you know, with their high-paying attorneys, they can get off with probation time, but most likely there will be some jail time. And then after all of that is done, the commissioner will then look at all of the evidence that's presented and decide whether the players can come back and play and get off the exempt commissioner's permission list and back onto an active roster. Everybody's screaming about Ray McDonald, the defensive end for the San Francisco 49ers. Well, there's no charges that are being brought against McDonald right now as of this moment, so that's why he continues to play. All I have to say to the Minnesota Vikings and to the Carolina Panthers is, why did it take so long? You all made a decision, especially the Minnesota Vikings. You made a decision to sit Adrian Peterson. You deactivated him immediately. And then after you went out and played football and got your butts whipped by the New England Patriots, you decided to reactivate Peterson. He started to practice, and then there was chaos and outcries from the world. Radisson said, we don't want to sponsor you anymore. More people called in saying, oh, my God, the Minnesota Vikings are horrible for letting this kid beater back on their team. And then they're like, okay, well, we decided we made a mistake. We're going to deactivate him again. You know, pick a side and stick with it. Grow a freaking spine. Make a decision. The right decision was the first one you did initially, and you deactivated him, and you sat him down, and you said, go take care of your business. That's where you should have left it. You should have never brought him back. You should have made a stand. And furthermore, what is up with the NFL? Where are you, Commissioner? Why are you letting these owners go back and forth and show support and bring them back and, no, we're not going to suspend them, and you don't do anything? And you let these owners and general managers look like fools and hypocrites. Of course, reason you don't get rid of these guys is because they're superstar players. Greg Hardy for the Panthers is a beast on defense. Adrian Peterson is probably one of the best running backs to ever play the game for the Minnesota Vikings. If it's Joe Schmo, third string defensive lineman, he's off your team. You don't even think about it. But the only reason you guys hemmed and hawed and couldn't decide to make a decision is because these guys were premier athletes at the top of their games, and you're paying them a whole bunch of money, and you don't want to have them pay them money if they're not going to play for you on Sunday. That's the bottom line. And it always comes down to money. The minute the Minnesota Vikings started to feel a pinch on their pocket, then they were like, you know what? We made a mistake. We're going to now deactivate Adrian Peterson again. Of course you are, because it's all about the bottom line. Grow a spine. Don't be hypocrites. Make a decision and stick with it. And then maybe we can start to respect you again. NFL, get off your butts and don't let these owners make decisions for players that are committing crimes. Step up in there, make a rule. If you commit a crime and it is shown that you are going to have to go to court for this crime, and in the case of Adrian Peterson, who has admitted guilt, in the case of Greg Hardy, who was found guilty, get them off the football field. Sit them down. Go make them take care of their legal issues, and they cannot play football until their legal issues are resolved. That's what the NFL should do. And I cannot believe that they're standing in the shadows, standing behind all of the owners and just waiting to make the owners make a decision. And because the owners right now are looking stupid, flip-flopping back and forth, letting the guys play, not letting them play, then deciding to let them play again. And then finally, you know what? They're going on the exempt list. That's ridiculous. NFL, step up and get a hold of your product, because it's starting to go down the tubes. All right, I've said my piece. Let's get to week three. Oh, I can't get to week three. I'm sorry. I got a little carried away. I had not ranted like that in a very long time. So please bear with me. I got a little carried away, but I am back. And before we get to the games in week three, I got to talk about the NFL and the union announcing their new PED policy. There's an agreement. There's going to be HGH testing, which the league has wanted. And they're also going to kind of ease up a little bit on recreational use. Basically, there is now a higher threshold for a positive marijuana test. And a two-game suspension upon conviction or plea agreement for driving under the influence has also been agreed to. So that actually comes down a little bit. But HGH testing should begin by the end of the month and will be fully implemented this season. So that means that HGH testing now starts in the NFL, and the players get to kind of, you know, use recreational stuff. Hopefully in states where it's legal or where they have medical need for it, and they won't be tested as positive, and the test will be a little bit higher for them. So everybody kind of gets what they want. But here's another kind of little rant. Because of this, players such as wide receiver Wes Welker, cornerback Orlando Scandrick, wide receiver Stedman Bailey, they all now will be judged by the new rules, and they'll be eligible to play in week three. How convenient for them. Here's another thing bad with the NFL. Why? Those guys broke the law under the old agreement. Let them serve out their suspensions based on them breaking the policy with the old policy in place. At that point, they should serve their suspensions in full. Now, from here on out, Anybody who breaks the policy will now earn these new suspensions that are shorter in time. Why are you making it retroactive and going back and letting these guys who broke the law back then kind of skate a little bit? Just grow a spine, big hairy cojones, make your decision and stick with it. Enough of this wishy-washy, I guess they could come back and play because we have a new policy in place. That makes absolutely no sense. Now I think I'm good to go. Let's get to week 3 in the NFL. Congratulations to David Bartley. He gets the honor of playing against me this week. He will be representing the fans. And this is the final week of all 16 games getting talked about. No breaking up into segments just yet. Final week of all 16 games getting equal share, equal play value, if you will. I'm pretty excited about this because I think it's going to allow me to take a little bit more time and talk about the meaningful games once we start breaking down. And plus, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, we're having some kind of crazy, crazy heat wave down here in Southern California. It's been like 105 plus over the last 3 or 4 days. I am burning up. It has been crazy. And the Rave Cave, like I said, is just on fire. So I'm keeping this short and sweet. I'm going to give you a quick kind of understanding as to why I'm picking the games I am picking. David and I differ on 4 games. He has sent me an email with why he likes the teams that he likes on the 4 games that we differ on. I'll talk to you about those, and then we'll make our picks. We'll go home. I'll get nice and cool, and we'll start with Thursday Night Football, where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers travel to Atlanta to face division rival Atlanta Falcons. Oh, those tricky, tricky Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Look, bottom line, Tampa Bay couldn't win at home last week against St. Louis Rams, who were playing Bumblebee Tuna at quarterback. That's right. I don't even know the name. David Allen, something like that. Yeah, you can't handle business in your own home. I don't think you're going to go on a short week to division rival in Atlanta and win a game. I've got the Atlanta Falcons, and so does David Bartley. All right, the San Diego Chargers travel across the country to face the Buffalo Bills. Yes, I'm getting lots and lots of emails from Buffalo Bills fans, or maybe just Greg. But that's all right, Greg. I love you too. Buffalo is 2-0 and the only 2-0 team in the AFC East. They lead that division. I hope they're quite happy with that lead because it won't last very long. This week, I've got the San Diego Superchargers. I underestimated them last week, and it cost me dearly. I will not do it again. I like Phillip Rivers. I like him to throw for another 3 or 4 touchdowns here. Yes, the Buffalo Bills are going to be all pumped. They're at home. They're coming off good wins, solid wins. I think it ends here. Yes, Greg, I'm going against you and the San Diego Chargers. And David Bartley as well, he agrees. He's taking San Diego as well. Moving on to the St. Louis Rams as they host the Dallas Cowboys. Well, here's the first game that we differ upon. I, of course, am taking the Dallas Cowboys. I shouldn't say of course. I mean, they looked pretty good last week. And David is taking the St. Louis Rams. He says, something just says upset to me here. I don't know why. Can Bumblebee Tuna earn his name? Maybe. Total gut pick. It's a total gut pick. Come on, David. You can't bring it like that when you're representing the fans. You're going to go with a gut pick? Just for that, I'm making that the challenge game. I'm going to roll with my team. How can I not roll with my team when they're going up against Bumblebee Tuna, for crying out loud? Plus, the fact that the St. Louis Rams no longer have Steven Jackson. He used to be the Dallas Cowboy killer. Without Steven Jackson and some unknown, unproven quarterback for the St. Louis Rams, I'll take the Dallas Cowboys. I will roll with my team. That will be the challenge game. I don't even need to know what other games we differ on there. I like Dallas, and I will gladly make that the challenge game. Moving on to another NFC East matchup. The Washington Redskins travel to Philadelphia to face the Eagles. Eagles coming off their heroic Monday Night Football come-from-behind victory against the Indianapolis Colts. Philadelphia being the only team in the history of the NFL to come from behind, being down 14 or more points in the second half. They were down 17-0 in the third quarter against Jacksonville, came back to win that one. And we're down 20-6 to the Indianapolis Colts on the road in Indy, and they managed to come back and win that one as well. I like Philadelphia at home. So does David Bartley. The Washington Redskins are now going to have to roll with Kirk Cousins, and that's fine. He looks pretty good. But if you think that the Philadelphia Eagles aren't going to be all over DeSean Jackson and his return back to Philadelphia, you got another thing coming. I think Philly will take care of the Washington Redskins quite nicely. Following the Houston Texans travel to New York to face the Giants, and I'm this close. If you could see me, you could see that I'm holding my thumb and my finger about a half an inch from each other. And that's how close I am to calling the New York Giants the worst team in football right now. They are bad. Eli Manning has lost it. He's become happy feet again, threw another couple picks last week, and they just don't look good. His favorite target right now, Larry Donnell, the tight end, is a big, solid tight end. He has targeted that tight end more than anybody else on the team. That's not good, especially when you have wide receivers like Victor Cruz and Reuben Randall. I like Houston to come in here. The Houston Texans are on fire right now. They're playing with a lot of energy on defense. They're stifling. They're going to get after Eli. They're going to smack him around a little bit. I like the Houston Texans, and so does David Bartley. Moving on to New Orleans, where the New Orleans Saints welcome the Adrian Peterson-less Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, the Minnesota Vikings are in turmoil right now. They looked really bad last week against the New England Patriots. They were just flat out awful. And if you don't get much from Cordarrelle Patterson, you're not going to get much from this football team. The running back who's filling in for Adrian Peterson is okay, but he is no Adrian Peterson. That means there's no running game for the Minnesota Vikings. There is no threat of a running game. So they don't respect that, and they're going to get after Matt Castle and put it all on Matt Castle to win. They're basically just going to come up here and say, hey, you got to beat us. We don't think you can. And I think the New Orleans Saints are desperate for a win. They're hungry for a win. They know they cannot fall to 0-3. I like the Saints to win at home, and so does David Bartley. The Baltimore Ravens travel to Cleveland. The Tennessee Titans travel to Cincinnati to face the Cincinnati Bengals. Los Bengales are looking pretty good right now. They're looking tough. They're looking like the best team in the AFC North right now. There's no reason for me not to take the Cincinnati Bengals. They're at home. Even if A.J. Green cannot go, there's some weapons that are starting to develop for the Cincinnati team that I like a lot. Giovanni Bernard. Gio is just, he's amazing. The kid is really good. He knows how to move the football. He knows how to work in space. And really, that's all they need. But Jeremy Hill's looking pretty good. Mohamed Sanu is stepping up in A.J. Green's absence. I like Cincinnati to beat Tennessee. Tennessee, I think, was exposed last week by the Dallas Cowboys, and I think Cincinnati at home will do much of the same. Dallas ran all over the Tennessee Titans, and I expect Giovanni Bernard and the Cincinnati Bengals to do the same. Cincinnati at home, and David likes that team as well. We'll move on to Cleveland, where the Cleveland Browns host the Baltimore Ravens in the battle of AFC North division foes. The Cleveland Browns upset the New Orleans Saints last week. They shocked me, and they shocked the world. I gave them no chance in that game. And once again, the New Orleans Saints had a big lead that they blew and lost the football game. Huh. We saw that the week before, right? Yep, that's exactly what we did. Well, this is no New Orleans Saints coming to town. It's the Baltimore Ravens. They got a really good defense, unlike the New Orleans Saints, whose defense is looking pretty bad. Oh, who's that defensive coordinator? Oh, yeah, Ryan. I remember that dude. Rob Ryan, you remember him? Yeah, yep. Okay. Anyways, I think that the Cleveland Browns
are going to put up a fight. And I said, you got to start looking at the Cleveland Browns. You got to start believing that they're going to play 60 minutes of football and play tough. But Baltimore will be too much. I think they found their rhythm last week against Pittsburgh. They've had extra days to relax and get ready for this football game. Even though they're on the road, I like the Baltimore Ravens to win this game. Second game that we differ on, as David Bartley likes the Cleveland Browns. He says, I think Cleveland will find a way to outscore the Ravens. And that's basically what Cleveland has been doing lately, especially in the second half. But if Baltimore takes a huge lead into the second half, I don't think that the Cleveland Browns will be able to come back from a deficit 3 weeks in a row. We'll move on to a battle of NFC North supremacy. The Green Bay Packers travel to Detroit to face the Lions. And here comes the third game David and I differ upon. I like the Green Bay Packers to get a second win. He likes Detroit at home. He says Megatron is due for a big game, and Detroit's defense is going to get after Rodgers quite a bit. I agree with him. I think the New York Jets kind of showed that you can get at Aaron Rodgers and kind of rattle him a little bit. But in the second half, Rodgers was cool, calm, and collected. He started hitting his guys, Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb kind of came alive there. And I expect that they're going to control the football a little bit more, especially in the run game. I think that they'll be able to get after Detroit running the football. Detroit looked awful last week against the Carolina Panthers. Yes, I know it was outdoors in Carolina on grass. And when Detroit's at home, they're a much better football team. But I think Green Bay knows that if they want to take care of business in the NFC North, they have to win a game like this. They have to start winning on the road, and I think they will get it done. That's why we differ on that game. Then the Jacksonville Jaguars will host the Indianapolis Colts. If you told me at the beginning of the season that it would be 0-2 Indy at 0-2 Jacksonville, I would say, not only are you crazy, you're stupid. No, I probably wouldn't have said that because I'm not that mean. But here it is, 0-2 Indianapolis at 0-2 Jacksonville. I'm going to take Indianapolis to win this game. They are just hungry. They're angry that they let that game get away from them on Monday Night Football. They know that they need a win. They need to get a W mark in the win column. And I think Indianapolis will control the ball a lot better. Jacksonville just looked anemic last week against the Washington Redskins. And I don't care if it's in Jacksonville. Indianapolis will take care of business. David has them winning as well. Just a few more games. We'll head to New England as the New England Patriots host the Oakland Raiders. Warning, warning, danger, Will Robinson. I don't have that thing, but it's a danger. It's a danger. I'll play this. It's New England! The Evil Empire! Look, a lot of people, and I'm talking about a lot of people, are taking this as the survivor pool pick, okay? I think in our league, it's almost half the people, and in the ESPN league, it's like 49% of the people or something like that. Everybody likes New England to beat the Oakland Raiders. I've got New England to beat the Oakland Raiders. So does David Bartley. Everybody's got New England to beat the Oakland Raiders. But that's the kind of game that sneaks up and knocks half the people out of the survivor pool. So, if you're going to take New England, knock yourself out. Good luck. Like I said, I've got New England winning this football game. I don't envision any scenario where the Oakland Raiders will win this football game. But it's that kind of a game where all of a sudden the Oakland Raiders go out and do something. You know, they smack Tom Brady around a couple times in the first quarter. He throws a pick. Maybe there's a fumble. They get up on the board. They're winning 17-0, and then they kind of hold on miraculously to win. That can happen because it's so crazy in the NFL. Things like that happen. We both have New England. I think New England will win the game, but for the sake of survivor pool safety, I would say if you can avoid New England this week, I would avoid them. All right, the San Francisco 49ers travel to Arizona to play a divisional rival. And the Arizona Cardinals are coming off a big win. They went into New York, took care of the Giants 25-14 last week, and they looked good in doing so. The San Francisco 49ers, on the other hand, lost a huge lead in the home opener at Levi's Stadium. Not very good, especially since Colin Kaepernick kind of imploded on himself and became a pick machine. However, I think San Francisco bounces back. Arizona Cardinals are probably going to have to rely on Drew Stanton again, as Carson Palmer is still not doing very good. David Bartley, however, takes Arizona, and he says, I still have reservations about the San Francisco offense, and Arizona's defense will keep it close. He does have a good point there. I do like the Cardinals' defense, but I think after a performance from last week where the San Francisco 49ers kind of just imploded on themselves in the second half, Harbaugh won't let that happen again. He will take care of business, and they will beat the Arizona Cardinals. I've got San Francisco, and David Bartley has Arizona.
Hello.
Hey, people. Say hi, Emma.
Hello.
Emma, how was your back-to-school night?
It was good.
All right. What do you got there in your cup?
Ice cream.
That sounds pretty good. Save me some, okay? I'll come get some in a minute. That's Emma who's got ice cream, and I need to go and be with Emma so I can eat some of that ice cream because it's so hot in here.
Okay. Well, I'll see you upstairs. Bye-bye.
Bye, baby. That was my little one. Emma, thank you for coming and saying hi. Save me some of that ice cream, okay?
Okay.
All right. Once again, I've got San Francisco, and David Bartley's got the Arizona Cardinals. That's the fourth and final game that we differ on. We like the same teams from here on out, so I'll rapid fire those so I can go get to my chocolatey ice cream and get out of the huge heat firebox that is the Rave Cave right now. Okay, the Denver Broncos at Seattle Seahawks. We both have Seattle. I suspect it's only because Seattle is at home. This is the first time in a while that a rematch of the Super Bowl happens in the regular season the following year. If this were in Denver, I'd probably take the Broncos, but in Seattle with the 12th man, the noise, the craziness, coupled with the fact that Seattle got embarrassed last week at the hands of the San Diego Chargers, I'll take Seattle this week, and so does David. The Kansas City Chiefs traveled to Miami to face the Miami Dolphins. Kansas City is 0-2 and looking like a shell of the team that went 9-0 last year before, you know, finishing 11-5. This is not the same team. I'm not sure if the Andy Reid antics are starting to wear a little thin, but they just don't look good on offense. They don't look good on defense. And even though they tried to come back last week and get a win against the Denver Broncos, they fell short, and I think they fall short again. The Miami Dolphins were exposed last week by the Buffalo Bills, but I think they learned from that game. I think they learned to not be as conservative as they were early in that football game. I think they're going to come out now. They're going to be more angry. They're going to be more aggressive. They'll be a little bit more on top of things, and they will go for things as opposed to playing conservatively. I like Miami at home. They will take care of the Kansas City Chiefs. David has them as well. The Pittsburgh Steelers travel to Carolina to face the Panthers. Oh, my, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde us last week on Thursday Night Football. I had to take a little water there. Ooh, it's hot. After putting a lot of points up against the Cleveland Browns and making us think that Pittsburgh was back, they looked bad last week against the Baltimore Ravens. The Carolina Panthers, on the other hand, I don't know how they're doing it yet. I have to look at their games a little bit closely, and I will this week. Trust me. They're not using smoke and mirrors. They're using all kinds of different stuff. I like Carolina at home. They've been playing really good football at home. I think they will take care of Pittsburgh Steelers. And I, quite frankly, am a little scared for Ben Roethlisberger. He took some vicious shots last week at the hands of the defenders for the Baltimore Ravens. Carolina's guys are going to come after him as well. And if they hit him hard and often, maybe a long day for Big Ben and the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. I'll take Carolina. David has that team as well. On the final game, Monday Night Football in New York, the New York Jets host the Chicago Bears. The Bears coming off that fantastic late come-from-behind victory over the San Francisco 49ers. It was the Brandon Marshall show, but of course this week, Brandon had little accusations come out his way. How is he going to respond to those and play on the football field? That remains to be seen. It does not matter. The New York Jets offense will not have enough to match the Bears defense. Both David and I have Chicago. Folks, that is all she wrote. Those are all 16 games. I lost the challenge game against this last week, so I get to pick this week. Man, I am 0-2 in the challenge game. I have got to get back, but I will keep it. I will keep it at the Cowboys. I got to roll with my team to get me back into this challenge game against the fans. I like Dallas to take care of St. Louis and take care of them soundly. The Cowboys found success last week, and I expect them to do it again. Thank you very much for listening to NFL Rants and Raves. People, get out to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Go to www.nflrnr.com to find all our social media handles. I'm Steven Miranda, and this has been NFL Rants and Raves. I'm out.